Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 22. Here we go. Today, our guests are Simone Bennett and Scott D. Lowe. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, Rick. How about you?
I'm doing well. And before I confuse everyone, I need to, you know, highlight this is Scott D. Lowe. This is not EMC Scott Lowe. And Scott, you're totally sick of the... Unless you've gotten any, like, really cool job offers from the other Scott Lowe. But what kind of funny stories can you tell us about the confusion of the two Scott Lowes?
You know, it's really all about Twitter these days. I think whenever one of us writes an article, it's always attributed to the other one, and we have to do a correction on a lot of the things that we write.
That's funny. I've actually known this Scott Lowe a lot longer. Him and I go way back. Scott's a blogger, and he blogs at Tech Republic, Virtualization Admin, Search CIO, and another. That's a good transition to the topic of today's conversation, and the title I have for today is The Transition to Tech Leadership. And Scott, can you tell us a little bit about your role and what you do?
Currently, I'm the Vice President and Chief Information Officer for Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. But I spent a good chunk of my career moving up through the ranks in IT and working in different areas of IT before finally getting into IT management back in about 2001.
Well, and that brings up a good point because, Simone, I know you focus a lot on project management. Can you tell us a little bit about your transition from, you know, more hands-on technical stuff to the project management side and what's kind of, you know, driven you to go to more of that technology leadership type of role?
I think I'm just naturally really organized, so I end up always getting given the project work as well as the technical work. And now that I've gotten to a more senior technical level, I tend to be a lot more hands-off doing the design and implementation plans and then sort of managing it more than implementing it. So I kind of fell into it. I didn't really make any conscious decision.
Well, no. I mean, you bring up a good point about being organized. I think we've all dealt with levels of chaos, right, in some point in our IT career. Tell me about your transition from, you know, hands-on day-to-day usage of technology to leadership.
Like I said, the first chunk of my career working in different areas of IT, and I think that gave me a relatively broad perspective because I worked help desk, I did programming, did networking, pretty much ran the gamut inside IT, including a lot of database work. And there came a point in my career where I was finding myself doing similar things for quite some time and realizing that I liked bringing it all together more than just working on a point solution here and there. So it was one of those things where it just made sense for me to move into IT management and kind of control the puzzle board rather than just a few pieces at a time.
And that's kind of a frequent story, and I'll share a little bit of my insight. And at one point, I was a manager, you know, an IT group manager. And while I liked it and it felt like the natural transition, I tell you guys, it was driving me crazy without getting my hands dirty and hands on the technology, you know, rolling up your sleeves and doing some work with some of the technology tools.
Well, thankfully, I still do a lot of that, just the more advanced stuff, so I don't have to do a lot of the fiddly stuff anymore. Of the junior guys to do that, but I still get in there and finish off the kit and deploy the servers and stuff. So I guess I have the best of both worlds at the moment.
Finish off the kit. Okay, what do you mean by kit?
Once the servers are all racked and in place, then I would configure them and deploy virtual servers on top of them. And
gotcha. I'm just giving you crap because I had Chris Evans from the UK on there, and he was always used this term, a new piece of kit. And I'm like, what is this kit? I'm having trouble.
So a kit would be like storage and servers okay. And switches and the whole kit and caboodle, I suppose.
Ah, okay. It's just the kit without the caboodle. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. The caboodle isn't done by me. I just do the kit.
Awesome. So Scott, do you find yourself getting hands-on still? And if so, in what situations?
I actually do tend to get pretty hands-on from time to time, although the frequency of that is probably a little bit less than it used to be. It continues to decrease over time. I built out our virtualization environment at Westminster pretty much by myself. I chose the storage, implemented the VMware, and moved most of our server workloads over to that environment. So it was kind of fun to be able to get hands-on like that. But at the same time, I found myself delegating more, and sometimes it's tough to do. But when necessary, I still get, you know, roll my sleeves up, get my hands dirty, and whatever other metaphors I can come up with to indicate that I do tend to take a hands-on approach from time to time.
Scott, one of the things that I know I've grappled with myself is when you go from technical to management, do you think you lose the job security of having a technical function? Especially when you go, maybe in your case, you went to, you know, a director position or a high-level management position, but in most big companies, if you reach a senior technical level, the next step would be middle management, like infrastructure manager or help desk manager. Do you think that it's unwise to make that step?
I think you've got to be sure it's what you want to do. If you decide you want to move from technical to management, at some point you're going to have to say, I'm going to forego some of the technical stuff and I'm going to build a new skill set. And that's something that it's hard. It's incredibly difficult. And I grapple with it still. But I think I probably, frankly, have in some ways more job security now than maybe I did before. Particularly if you start looking at ageism and IT and things like that. I think that applies a little bit less necessarily to the senior leadership roles than maybe it does some of the more junior level positions.
How do you balance, though, learning new technology, keeping up with tech, when you're not hands-on every day and you also have, you know, quite a large load from your management position? How do you find time to keep up to date with the technology?
Well, honestly, the stuff I do outside of work helps quite a lot. Writing for Tech Republic, writing for Virtualization Admin, writing for CIO Mid-Market, and some of the other things that I do, I also do training videos for TrainSignal. That helps me. I mean, I get deep dive into the technology in those areas, but I can kind of put a different spin on it sometimes. I can approach it from a deep technical level because I've maintained a pretty reasonable skill set and feel like if I really wanted to, I could move back into a purely technical role at some point in my life. And that's always a possibility. But all that stuff that I do outside of work really helps me in my work day, because I'm able to apply it a little bit better. I'm also able to help with some of my staff develop a little bit more than maybe I would otherwise, because I really do have a better handle on the technology than I would otherwise if I just stayed in my box at work.
That brings up a good point, Scott. I'll kind of reverse to a point in time in my career when I was working in supply chain logistics software. And everybody's going to go, what the heck is that? Well, that's pretty much, you know, how stuff moves through the country and through the world as far as products. And the thing was, I learned supply chain software very well, and I knew it very well. And therefore, I knew the technologies that we needed very well, which was really server hardware, like two models of it, and it was a SQL Server database, and it was Windows, and then our application. And that's really all that I was really kind of compartmentalized to know. And what you just said about the blogging was a great way for me to round out my experience, okay? So I didn't have to work with Active Directory. I didn't have to work with DNS. I didn't have to work with, you know, networking, storage technologies, security, you know, outside of what the product in that case had. The blogging was a definite solid way to round out my approach, and I agree with you 100%. It definitely keeps you, abreast of the rest of the technologies that are out there.
And it's also a way for me to consolidate what I've done at work. For Tech Republic, I contribute to three different blogs: IT Leadership, Servers and Storage, and Smartphones. And that's, you know, the first two at least are something that I do quite a lot of at work. So it's a way for me to take what I've done during the day and kind of roll it up and reflect on it a little bit as well.
Yeah, and I'll mention, you know, Scott and I pretty much float the servers and storage blog there. And I think it's a great variety of stuff, everything from virtualization to Windows to Exchange and some System Center stuff that I throw in there. So I'll throw those in the podcast notes. A little bit of a shameless self-plug for myself as well.
We'll let it go this time.
Yeah, right on. It is my own. I guess, you know, I'm lucky here at this podcast. You know, we get to have a lot of different people on, and we talk a lot about different things.
Scott, one of the things I found as a technical member of staff is that when you have a manager who was a technical person and has been promoted up through the ranks to be a manager, they find it really hard to let you do your job. Then they're always up in there wanting to have a go at stuff because that's what they love, essentially. And I guess it's hard for them to see an issue and not instantly work on it. How do you still stay passionate about what you do, still stay up to date with technology, but don't, but make sure you don't, you know, step on the toes of your team and make, you know, do stuff that's not really your role anymore?
I wear a shock collar and let them have the controller.
Amazing. That was a good idea.
You know, I'll be honest with you, that has probably been the biggest challenge that I've had. And I've been in IT management for 10 years, almost 10 years. So, and I still struggle with that from time to time. And, you know, what it takes is it takes a level of trust between me and my staff, and that's in both directions. I tend to be more, I don't want to use the word interfering, but more hands-on than I would normally be until I have the faith that the people have the right skills to do the job. So when somebody comes onto the job in the beginning, I'm going to be a little bit more involved with them and get them up to speed in the infrastructure and what we've done. And then once that's done, I try to stay hands off. And I'm very fortunate to have the staff that I have because they get me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they're I don't think there's anybody on the team that's all about themselves. And they all realize that we're all there to grow, we're all there to learn. And we learn together. We actually do a lot of team building, a lot of stuff, learning together on projects. And in particular, the data center, I have, you know, we're a very small team. There's only one other person that manages infrastructure, and I help with that. So in a lot of ways, I act as a backup anyway, so there's not a lot of toe-stepping going on. But when I do start crossing the line, and it, you know, sometimes you just start doing that and you don't even realize it. He comes to my office, sits down and says, "All right, buddy, back off."
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, yeah, you're right, sorry." And I just, and there's no hard feelings, there's no animosity. He just reminds me that I have a different role sometimes, than the one that maybe I was playing up until that point in that day.
What about mentoring? Are you a good mentor, or has that been like a challenge in this role?
No, actually, I think I'm pretty good at that. I have a broad enough understanding of most of the functional areas of IT, actually all of the functional areas of IT, that even when I have subject matter experts working for me, like, you know, probably the weakest area that I have is databases, although I know enough about it to get by. I have a fantastic database administrator, but when you get stumped or just need something, he comes across the hall and says, "I need another pair of eyes, take a look at this," and I can help him through those challenges. When it comes to helping my employees grow, meeting their professional goals, so I'm not going to micromanage to a point where I'm hindering their forward momentum in their careers. And when they have questions or concerns or comments, I'm going to take all that feedback and incorporate it, and hopefully, you know, and it's kind of a mentoring back and forth, because I certainly don't have all the answers. Some people that are working for me have significantly more time in the workforce than I do, and they've played lots of different roles. So I actually find myself going to them for advice every once in a while as well.
Okay, I have one last question for you, Scott. For people like me who have done technical roles for the last, say, 10 years, and they've sort of reached a pinnacle in the general sysadmin, and they're considering specializing or moving to management, how would you suggest that they get the business to see them as a potential manager and not just someone who's really great at the technology?
They have to figure out how they can link the technology to business goals. And that's, you know, cliche. Everybody says that now. But if they're just talking about, "Wow, we just put a brand new storage device in," nobody really cares, even though it's freaking awesome. You know, nobody really cares. But as soon as you can link that to the benefits that the business is going to realize, and you can articulate those in a reasonable way without delving into jargon, I think that you're going to be much more seen as a partner rather than as a cog, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so the ability to communicate clearly what you've done and how that benefits the business, and moving forward, other things you can do to help in that aspect are going to make you be seen a lot more as someone that's capable of operating at an appropriate level to move into IT management.
So for someone who's a senior member of a technical team, probably answering to an infra manager or an IT manager, how do you become visible to the business? So normally, in my experience, you're skulking around in the night after hours doing amazing stuff. Nobody really knows you're there unless something breaks, in which case you're not popular. But when it's working beautifully, you know, you're not visible. You're just a person in the IT department, you know, down in the corner. So how do you transition from being great at technical, great in the minds of your peers, but outside of the business, how do you get people who have no idea about the technology and what you're working on to recognize your talents as, you know, a manager or a project manager? Or
let me, can I answer that? But first, can I comment on one of the things you said, because I think it's important? You said, you know, when something's broken, people don't like you. But, you know, I think that that's actually one way that the people who are not necessarily in the management roles can actually become visible. And now you're not necessarily becoming visible in a good way, but how you react and handle those kinds of issues are going to be very visible to the organization as during the recovery. And if you're the person that's been appointed as the lead on getting an issue resolved, I think you can use that as an opportunity to make yourself more visible to the organization, because it's not necessarily your fault that the issue happened, but I think you can kind of make hay with it and use that in a way that might increase your standing in the organization. We had a situation like that at Westminster recently, where we had a significant issue, but we actually were able to turn it into a positive, because it actually demonstrated that some of the things that we've undertaken in the past year are working exactly the way they're intended, and they're bringing real business benefit. So I just want to make sure that that's clear, because I think you can actually use issues that arise in our operational function in a way that are really positive. Now, to address the actual question, how does a person become more visible? You've got to be working for a manager that is interested in your personal development. If you're working for someone who is going to hog all the glory for themselves, you're going to have a tough time, and it's probably time to be thinking about moving somewhere else. But you're going to have to work with that person and figure out projects that you can be given or tasks that you can be given that are going to transcend the immediate organization, and they're going to give you some visibility. And it's really going to mean that you've got to make sure that you have that developmental structure in place in your organization where people care enough about your personal development that they're willing to make sure that you have opportunities for that kind of development. I think it's going to be tough to just undertake on your own, especially if you're working for someone who doesn't want you to do that. But if you have someone that's willing to help you with that, then I think that really the sky's the limit.
Wow, that's an awesome perspective, Scott, because it isn't just the individual. It's definitely, you know, that first level management. And then also it's the organization. You know, is the organization just capable of moving people around and stuff like that? So that's really great information. And Simone, thank you very much. Those are awesome questions, which is why I picked you as the co-host, because I know you could do it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, let's transition a bit to a session of the podcast I call Three Views from You. And Scott, since this is your first time on the podcast, you're on the hot seat. I'm going to ask you three questions about technology and your career just in general, and share as much or as little about the events as you want. But they're going to be set at three different points in time, the past, the present, and the future. So I'm going to start with the past. So, Scott, can you tell me a story or some sort of technical experience or something from your past that's the most interesting thing that you can share with us?
I haven't really done anything interesting, Rich. No, I'm kidding. I've been thinking about that while we've been doing the podcast, and it's hard to pick something out, to be perfectly honest. All I can say is I've really been incredibly fortunate in my career. I mean, I started out working for an organization that really did value growth. And so I had, basically, if I said I want to do X, I was able to do X. And my first IT job that I started back in 1994 really set me up for success in a pretty big way. I was able to work across all silos of the organization and in the IT organization. And so I was able to get a taste for everything and really figure out early on in IT what was really great. And, you know, obviously what's not so great, because not everything's great about IT. So, I think that's probably pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So from a looking at the past perspective, as I look at myself, having had the opportunity to work in a place that allowed me to grow so significantly really set me up for a lot of success. And I think it's only on looking back that I was able to see that. Obviously, at the time, it's just what you're doing. It was my first job out of college.
Awesome.
Although I've had, jobs in college. So, you don't know exactly what to expect, but looking back, that was definitely the foundation.
Yeah, it just seems like a job or whatever at the time, but looking back, you're like, wow, it made a fundamental difference. I totally understand. How about in the present? What's going on technology-wise or career-wise that you're most passionate about right now?
It's going to be very inward focused on Westminster College, but the couple of things we're working on right now are all data focused. We've spent the last about 4 years making sure that we have a rock solid infrastructure, and we do. We're not able to say that 4 years ago, but everything works incredibly well on the infrastructure side now, and we're really turned our attention to business process and data function. And I've spent the last year deeply involved in those two areas across campus. And those are some areas where I'm very passionate. I think that if we appropriately leverage technology, we can do fantastic things for the organization from both decision making and efficiency perspectives. And those are the things that we're working on right now and that I'm really passionate about. And that I've been given, again, an opportunity to lead in a cross-functional effort, in a cross-functional way.
Wow, that's cool. That's a big challenge. It's a lot harder than it sounds, I bet.
Much more difficult. As soon as you get into things that start to impact culture of an organization, all of a sudden progress just slows to a crawl, and it's very difficult to get through.
Right on, right on. Well, how about in the future, Scott? What do you see technology-wise, career-wise for, people in technology leadership roles? What do you see into the future as opportunity or otherwise most interesting to you?
One of the things I see coming down the line is particularly as, and I hate the word cloud, but as cloud takes off, is you're going to see a little bit less emphasis on some of the infrastructure aspects of IT and more emphasis on solutions development. And I think that's already starting to happen. As you can start to jettison some of the commodity services that, have to take up a lot of time, that really leaves you able to better focus on real business needs rather than keeping the lights on. You're actually figuring out how to make the trains run a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really a pretty significant benefit for what's going to be happening in the future of IT. And I think you're going to see, the CIO, boy, who knows what's going to happen, because everybody wants to, say, the CIO is going to be dead in a year, the CIO is going to get more stature. I think the role of the CIO is going to become more broadly defined across the organization. And there's going to be more impact from what will be the technology department of the future that doesn't necessarily have to focus all constantly on infrastructure.
Yeah, that's true. And if you can see those inklings happening, I wouldn't necessarily disagree. It is about making the trains run better rather than making the data center look better. I agree. Well, hey, guys, this has been a really, really good podcast, and it's a little bit different from our topic lineup, and I hope that everyone's enjoyed it. Simone, first of all, thank you very much for sitting in the co-host seat.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. And everyone, Simone is on Twitter at KittenSticks, KittenStix. And Scott is on Twitter at OtherScottLowe, and that's Scott with two T's. Yeah, he used to be Scott D. Lowe, but he just ran with it. Other Scott Lowe, I love it.
That's great.
Hey, Scott, thanks again for being on the show.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Okay, cheers.